Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Welcome. I'm Stephen, and you're listening to Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. I'm a professional tarot reader and astrologer at PsychicAccess.com, and we're glad that you could join us this week for Psychic Viewpoint. I have a panel here of top-tier psychics, also from PsychicAccess.com, with me this evening. Maureen, thank you for joining us. How are you this evening?
I'm doing okay. Thank you very much, Stephen, for asking me.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Can you tell us what you do over at Psychic Access?
Yeah, I can tell you what I do over at Psychic Access, and my work is what I do every time, every day of my life. I'm an intuitive psychic empath who utilizes the tarot as I utilize the tarot as my main tool because I feel the tarot is a symbolic record of human experience, and it all kind of fuses together with astrology and everything else. Sometimes I look at myself as a tarologist because I can blend numerology and astrology, not like you guys, but put a little bit of it all in, you know. And I love my work. I must do my work, and there you have it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. If anybody would like to learn more about Maureen, head on over to PsychicAccess.com. She's one of our favorite and most solicited psychics there. Steve, welcome. How are you this evening?
I'm great. Thank you, Stephen.
Oh, I'm very glad to hear that. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer.
Oh, very nice, very nice. All right, well, we really do appreciate you being here. Hope you enjoy the show. We'll be looking forward to hearing your opinions and comments after the interview during the banter section. And finally, not last but definitely not least, we're moving on to Sadia. How are you doing this evening?
I'm great, Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm excited to hear your guest tonight and to hear the topic of quantum healing. Very excited about that. But before we get into that, can you let all of us know what you do at PsychicAccess.com?
Certainly. I am intuitive and I'm a medium, so I contact people's guides and loved ones, and that's where I get the majority of my information. And I'm really excited because I'm interviewing somebody that I have been a fan of for quite some time. His name is Richard Gordon, and he's a surgeon and an author, and he's written several novels about quantum healing. And we're very excited to have him here on Psychic Viewpoint. I am an energy healer, so I've read his book, and he's got a new book out, and I'm excited to hear about it. How are you, Richard?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, so I saw your video on your website, quantumtouch.com, where you went out on the streets of Santa Monica and did spontaneous healings on people who were in pain. And the results and responses from the people you worked on were amazing. How does quantum healing work?
Okay, let me just make a couple small corrections. First, I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a doctor, and I have not written any novels. I write what I call nonfiction, which is work on energy healing, energy medicine. Now, when I went out on the streets in Santa Monica and did the sessions, what I was doing was I was using breathing and body awareness exercises to raise my own vibration of energy, and then holding that energy around the places where people were complaining of pain or suffering or various kinds of problems. Now, one of the things that's really interesting about that video is I did not edit anybody out of it. The only people who were not appearing on the video were ones who specifically asked me not to videotape them. But everyone who allowed me to tape them was on the video, and you know, we scored 100% on people having significant or profound pain relief or relief of whatever symptoms they had right there on the spot.
Well, it was very profound because many of them came into the interview with you having like a 7 to 8 out of a 1.10 range of pain. And by the end of working with you, it was like 0 to 3. Exactly. Yeah. How does that work? Like, what did you do exactly? What did you change their energy? Did you merge your energy with theirs? What did you do to take that pain away?
Let's look at the basis of what quantum touch is, and then I'll talk about what I did during the session. The basis of quantum touch understands that when two things vibrate at different frequencies, through a process called resonance and entrainment, they're going to try to match their frequencies together. Either the low frequency comes up to match the high one comes down to match the low one, or they're going to meet in the middle. What the quantum touch practitioner does is they use a combination of breathing and body awareness exercises to lift their own vibration. This first provides self-healing on the person doing the exercises. After that, then typically in the basic quantum touch work, you put your hands on the part of the body where the person is suffering, and you'll feel all this energy exchange between your hands and them. In the advanced quantum touch, which is what my new book is about, called Quantum Touch 2.0, The New Human, Discovering and Becoming, we outline a whole series of new human abilities we didn't know we had. And that's what I was demonstrating on the street, was I wasn't even touching these people. I was just meditating for typically 2 to 4 minutes and watching their symptoms just melt away. So there's ways of projecting our love. I call it focused and amplified love. We're learning how to focus our love in a very clear kind of way, amplify it and project it toward a specific outcome. Now, the basic method of using the breathing and body awareness precedes that more advanced technique. So that's why we really encourage people to learn the basic quantum touch before going on to the advanced.
Wonderful. And Richard, there's one of our regular listeners, Margaret, had a question that she wanted me to pass on to you. So before I forget, I wanted to squeeze it in. Her question is, has Richard Gordon ever read The Art of True Healing by Israel Regardi? If so, then what is his opinions of the methods of healing taught therein?
I remember reading it like 30 or 40 years ago or something. I don't remember very much about it. I just remembered that it wasn't specific enough to let me really do things that I thought were very powerful at the time. Maybe if I went back to it now, I'd see it from a whole different light. But it was too long ago for me to remember it clearly at this time.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for that. So can anyone learn to heal themselves and others, or do you have to be born with this gift? There's something special that you have to have, or is this something that anyone can learn to do?
You know, I've made my whole career around the idea that this is a basic human skill and that anybody can learn it. This is truly something everybody can learn. Now, when I was on the road 3 to 4 weeks out of the month giving 4 to 6 lectures a week, I would say during the lectures, kind of like the guy that sells the cheap suits, I'd say, I'll guarantee that you'll be able to realign a person's hips with a light touch before lunch break on the first day, or you'll get your money back. And no one ever got a refund because everybody was able to do it. These are truly basic human abilities that have been lost or forgotten. And what's really lovely about it is that they blend with every other modality I'm aware of. So if you are a Reiki master or Qigong or whatever you do, you can find a way of integrating these techniques in with what you do. I like to think of it as a modality without a big ego, because it doesn't say only me. It says, yes, let's all work together. Let's do what we know to be true and then find out what's most effective.
And is this something you could do on animals?
Oh, yeah. One woman worked on hundreds of horses. We've got a little video of her somewhere online. And she was talking about how, like clockwork, when she works on the horses go to sleep. Yet within minutes. And I said, well, how do you know they're sleeping? She says, well, their eyes drop and their jaw drops and their head drops. And she's kind of, you know, acting it all out while she's talking. She's really charming. And she says, yeah, the horses go to sleep when you work on them. She says, over time, when the horses understand what you're doing, they'll actually turn their bodies and say, oh, no, over here. No, work over here. And they'll keep moving themselves around to get your hands in the right place so that you can give them sessions. And we've had so many people doing amazing work on animals. Now, you mentioned working on yourself. And working on yourself for many people is a bit more challenging. And as I've said many times, it tends to be not quite as fast, easy, fun, or powerful. And I said that in one of my classes a couple of years ago, and I just heard this loud groan from the room, and all these people started objecting. Said, well, that's not true for me. I don't have any trouble working on myself. And I thought, okay, I don't want to be projecting my own limitations on you. So for many people, it's not as fast, easy, fun, or powerful. But for many other people, it's very, very fluid. And, you know, it's something that you can do on yourself. But generally speaking, if you were to find the perfect gift and gift wrap it and wait for the perfect moment and then give it to yourself, it just doesn't have that surprise factor, does it? But if you found that perfect gift, if somebody gives it to you, wow, it has a real surprise to you personally, and that's how it is when you're receiving somebody else's energy. It's a surprise to the system, and the system responds to it and goes, oh, I know what to do with this energy. Once the energy is provided, then the body's own intelligence takes over, the spiritual intelligence of the system, and it directs the healing to the areas and places that it's really needed most. And that's how it works. So this life force energy that they call chi or ki or prana or mana, all these different words in different cultures used for this energy, we use various techniques for focus, amplify it, provide it, then their body intelligence utilizes it appropriately for them. So you see things that you just never expected. Like in one class, a woman was complaining that her neck hurt a whole lot. Somebody ran energy into her neck, and then she reported, oh, well, my hearing came back. I said, well, was it gone long? She said, well, not since I was, she's in her 50s. She said as a teenager, she was hit by a drunk driver and hadn't heard out her left ear, in all those years. And you never know what's going to happen, but the intelligence of the system directs the energy to where it needs to go.
And Richard, have you ever worked with children before? And is it different at all when you work with children?
Well, yes and no. I mean, children tend to, what's different is they tend to respond more quickly. They tend to respond really fast to the work. And also, they love it when they learn it. I remember this one little boy, Zach, from Seattle. What a delightful kid he was. He was so excited when he learned to do the work. And he said to his best friend, he said, you know, I learned to help heal people. And his friend said, well, heal me. He said, well, okay, what do you got wrong? He says, well, nothing. He said, well, you know, unless you got some pain or something, I can't help you. So the kid takes his own hand, slams it on the table as hard as he can. His hand's turning purple. Zach picks up the boy's hand, runs energy, and we use that word for moving the energy, running energy, into the boy's hand. And a minute or two later, the kid's opening and closing his hand saying, wow, that's so cool. Because the kids respond to it really well because they want to learn real magic. They watched Harry Potter. It takes years and years to convince a child that magic isn't real. And we're showing them that it actually is.
Yeah, I guess Harry Potter has done a lot of good, hasn't he, in that area?
Well, I think what happens is a certain segment of the population got really frightened because if you use the magic word, then, it's against the religion or something. And the other people just thought it was a fantasy story. So we haven't really had a lot of bleed over from people saying, oh my God, this is magic. This is incredible. I love this. We haven't had that much of people coming over. But I think in the long run, when people realize that their love is actually magic, that their love can do miracles, that's when things will change. right now, we're kind of in that in-between place where a small segment of the population, yes, we've got certified practitioners in 50 countries and my books in 17 languages and all that kind of stuff, but there's only a small portion of the population that is tapped into using us. We've got over 1,000 certified practitioners around the world doing it. Although we have a very wide footprint, we don't have a very deep one yet because most people have not discovered that they can do this stuff. And when they do discover it, holy smokes, that's when they find out how totally amazing it is.
And I've worked with kids for 30 years teaching dance, and I often, you know, they get injured here or there, and I've done healing work on them, of course, without saying anything, because as you know, sometimes you have to be careful. And I find them to be so receptive. To me, it almost feels like they're a sponge. Like, yes. I feel like I have to turn the energy off and sometimes, because I feel like they're so receptive, they just keep pulling more and more and more, because they don't have that shell or that barrier around them that we develop, you know, throughout our lifetime, where we start shutting people off and shutting other people's energy out of fear and out of, you know, just being damaged and wounded.
My friend Terry up in Seattle, he was working with, his wife is a social worker, and the judge let her take home a baby that had been was born 13 weeks premature with severe fetal alcohol syndrome and addicted to amphetamines. He said, you know, the institution isn't going to do as good a job as you. Why don't you take care of him? That child was given quantum touch every single day and good food. The child grew up with above average intelligence, with average height and weight. That child then learned how to see and perceive energy, and he could see it in his hands, and he became like the social leader of the entire kindergarten, where everybody adored this little kid, while the prognosis was for a 20 to 40 IQ and to be institutionalized for life. Wow. That was a big one. Terry then started doing demonstrations of the work, and he went in front of a group of people, and a child had severe bowed legs, and she was kind of crying because she couldn't step over this cord in the room, you know, separating a couple places, and the room, the people in the room started crying because they saw her legs come back together, and then she could step over the cord and run across the room for the first time in her life. The possibilities of what this means are so vast, and people think it's about this quality of the work. Oh, it's for burns. Oh, it's for bowed legs. Oh, it's for adjusting pelvic structure. Or it's, you know, I just interviewed a couple of my instructors a couple months ago. I have a new podcast called The Possible Human. And in this one podcast with Deborah Gare and Tyler Odysseus, they're telling me about a wide range of severe mental disorders that are responding really well to the energy. I'm just shocked. I didn't know we could do that. They're saying, oh yeah, this guy had been hospitalized for bipolar a number of times. Really? Yeah, how many sessions did you give? Oh, 3 or 4 sessions. He kept getting better. And what other things? And they're talking about Parkinson's, addictions, traumas, Alzheimer's, ADHD, just severe issues where people have been going through very, very difficult stuff. And I'm asking, well, what did you do? And they said, we just did what you taught us. And I didn't know. You see, my focus hasn't been to be the practitioner. Mine has been more to be the researcher, the person who discovers things, tests them out long enough to know there's something totally amazing going on, and then pass it on to other people while I go discover something else. So I have been dumbfounded and astounded. I kind of like that English word, gobsmacked, you know, to find out, what do you mean it did this too? So these are some of the things that I'm learning about and finding out that we really do have abilities way beyond anything I had known previously.
So, Richard, when you say you send energy to the part of the body that's like wounded or in pain, is it just kind of sending it to that area? Or are you actually working with meridians, chakras, auras, or anything like that? Or you just send the energy and allow the body to direct it where it needs to go?
We're using a very complicated method called the Where Does It Hurt technique.
Okay.
and when a person identifies a place that hurts or is injured or upset in some way, on the basic level, we put our hands over it and we use a lot of breathing work. In fact, if you wouldn't mind, at some point on the call, I'd like to give everybody a technique that you can start doing, to be doing a very primitive form of quantum touch immediately, that you can keep and use forever and start getting some results from it. And then later, if you like, you can learn more and learn to become far more powerful. But this is a good starting method. In the advanced work, what happens is I learn how to focus in on the heart chakra and work with the heart chakra with the breathing and body awareness exercises and project that. And we found out we can get results about 3 to 5 times faster by combining the basic quantum touch with this heart chakra work that we call level 2 quantum touch, or the new human. So these are new skills that we have, that the small story is we're able to do this kind of healing work and accelerate healing on a profound level. That's the small story. The big story is we're able to demonstrate in a clinical setting that consciousness affects matter, that the materialism that science has been addicted to and refusing to consider anything outside that box for the last 400 years, we can show a demonstration without special equipment to show that our love actually has a physical impact on the outer reality. And the physicists call that action at a distance, and they don't believe that action at a distance is possible, but we can demonstrate it now.
Yeah, I would love for you to teach us that technique now. That would be great.
Okay, so what I'm going to show you is a basic method. If you love it, learn more, because you can. If you want to, you can learn a whole lot more and become far more powerful. But this is kind of like almost like a cheat to get it started. I'll explain that a little later. What you do, if you're not driving and operating heavy equipment and all that, when you're listening to this, is rub your hands together very quickly for about 15 seconds. Just that kind of thing. We just rub them together. Then place your hands over, sandwich the part of the body of the person you're wanting to work on, and breathe deeply into your hands. Feel as much sensation in your hands as you can while you breathe deeply through your hands, as if you're breathing through all the skin on your hands. And then repeat the rubbing of your hands together every 2 minutes or so. Now, that's kind of an artificial way of running the energy. In the basic quantum touch, we learn to sweep the energy through our entire body and to do it without having to be mechanical about it. But this mechanical method, you can leave your hands in place for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, hour and a quarter, and you will get real, genuine healing results that you can see and test for yourself that are profound just using this method. Another adjunct to it is, if the pain moves to a different part of their body, go there too. Chase it. You want to chase the pain from point A to point B to point C. As you chase that pain, you'll see it being relieved all over the system. So you rub your hands together. You can deep breathing the whole time. So a simple breath would be 4 counts in, 4 counts out. So a count is about a second. 4 seconds in, 4 seconds out. Keep the breathing going the whole time. Put your love in your hands. That is an extremely elementary way for you to start doing healing now. And if you love it and you start getting great results, I encourage you to learn more, because you will be able to do extraordinary work when you learn how to amplify and project the energy.
And so, Richard, when you say breathe through the hands, you mean visualize the breath moving in and out of the hands as it moves in and out of the lungs?
I would say feel as if the breath was coming out of the hands. You don't have to visualize, just feel as if the hands were breathing while you're breathing. You don't have to think about the fact that it's coming through your lungs. Just feel like you're breathing through your hands. It's another way of keeping your attention in your hands. And that's what we're doing. I'm having you focus all your awareness in your hands and feel like you have your love in your hands. If you do these things and breathe deeply throughout the whole time, you will be moving enough energy. And rub your hands together every 2 minutes or so, because rubbing the hands is a way of bringing awareness to the hands. Now, This is a shortcut, kind of like, you know, putting training wheels on a bicycle or something. It isn't going to let you go super fast, but it will get you going down the road, and you will be able to start doing some really amazing healing work just from this little 2-minute technique.
And Richard, are you able to use this technique or other techniques that you teach to do long distance healing if the person isn't very close to you? Are you able to, you know, do it to somebody that's maybe in a different country or different state?
Yeah, there's love knows no limit, does it? I mean, can you love somebody in another country? Can you love somebody at a distance? Of course you can. And so the energy of the love is a non-physical energy. And it can go anywhere. It's not limited by time or space. And so the distant healing works amazingly well. And one of the demonstrations that I'm really enjoying showing off, because it works really right about 100% of the time, and it's considered physiologically impossible, is untwisting a person's hips and occipital ridge, the back of their head. Chiropractors know there's something called pelvic torsion, and pelvic torsion often accounts for a certain percentage of a person's back pain and tension. And everybody has anywhere from a very minor to a very major pelvic torsion. I think I've seen maybe 2 or 3 people in all these years who didn't have any pelvic torsion. And when you find a person whose hips are twisted, what it looks like, typically, when you measure them from the front and you put your hands on top of the hip bones, your right hand looks high. And when you go behind them and measure them again, your right hand looks high, because the left hip is twisted so it looks high in the front, and the right is twisted so it looks high in the back. And then the occipital ridge usually looks high on the right-hand side. When I meditate for about 5 seconds and do it on the sphenoid bone, which is behind the nose and eyes, that's when you see the whole person come untwisting completely. And it seems, you know, from the last 4 or 5 years I've been doing this, to be a permanent shift in them. So that's a completely remarkable demonstration that consciousness affects matter. And you can do it from across the room, or I can do it over Skype. So the person could be in Hong Kong and I can just meditate, and right there it happens, right before your eyes. When I actually gave a keynote address at the University of Hong Kong, I demonstrated how I could untwist the pelvic torsion of a stage full of people simultaneously. And the founding director of the behavioral science department wrote that this is probably the most important new publication in the world, speaking of my new book, because it redefines what it means to be a human being and shows us a whole set of new human abilities that we didn't know we had.
And so I'm assuming that this would also apply to group healing, like working with large groups of people, or does it need to be one-on-one?
No, it can be whatever you can imagine. Okay. So we're really seeing that because science has been so limited by the assumption that the mind is inside the brain, that matter is unconscious and purposeless, that energy healing and alternative medicine can't be real and can't exist, they've allocated virtually no money to study such things. Even the studies of alternative medicine have been for the most unimportant aspects of the field, by and large, and very little has gotten done, because if they were to accept that this was real, it would change the very foundations of what they've assumed to be true. I've been in communication with Rupert Sheldrake recently, and he, I think, is probably the most important scientist of our time. And he's written a really brilliant book called Science Set Free, where he really shows how scientists got locked into this materialistic philosophy of what he calls scientism, where the belief, it's almost like a set of beliefs that people pick up through some kind of educational osmosis, where they tend to become these skeptics and cynics when it comes to ideas that don't fit them. And what's what's exciting is to really open the door and say, oh my God, look, there is a whole world here for us to discover. I was at a conference about 3 years ago called Towards the Science of Consciousness. And I had a sign that said, quantum theory is incomplete, free demo. And some guy comes up to me and he says, all right, what do you got? And I said, well, I'm going to demonstrate that I can untwist your hips without touching you. He said, well, that's impossible. I said, great, hold that thought. And I measured him and said, wow, your hips are further out of alignment than maybe almost anybody I've ever seen in my life. So I said, okay, lock your hips and make it hard for me. So he does, and 5 seconds later, I measure him and said, look, you're completely aligned now. He said, well, of course, used reverse psychology on me. And I said, reverse psychology? I said, well, do you consider yourself an empirical scientist or faith-based? He said, well, empirical scientist, of course. Well, great, then why don't you watch me do this 5 or 10 more times and see if I'm using reverse psychology? And then he said, you know, if I let myself believe this just happened, everything I know about science would fall like a house of cards. Well, as an empirical scientist, I replied, don't you want to let the cards fall where they will? And he thought about it for a moment and he said, not today. And he just walked away. Because the fundamental things that people will see when they discover these human abilities undermine the core assumptions that we're separate, that this is not a spiritual reality, that love has no impact, that matter is unconscious, that the mind is confined to the brain, that the only things that are real are physical things, the physicality of life. But what if the physicality of life was just a shadow of our consciousness? What if all this was just a projection of reality? What if love was the only thing that was actually real and everything else was the shadow of that? Well, that's a little too radical for them to consider yet.
Well, and unfortunately, love can't be marketed and sold too. So as long as we're attracted to money, which we are, that creates an obstacle. But I'm so grateful to people like you because I do believe that this is where we're headed. In my readings, I notice more and more of the younger people that I'm reading are getting into holistic medicine and more natural, you know, even some scientists that I've read for, they're looking more toward natural ways of healing the body. So I do feel like this is the way that we're headed, and people like you have really opened up the door for it. What I'm curious what you feel when you're actually doing healing on another person. For me, I get really high because the love goes both ways. It has to pass through me in order for it to go into the next person. So I'm just curious what you feel when you do it.
Yeah, I think you've described it really well. You can get hot and you can get high and you can feel really overwhelming gratitude and stuff like that. The thing to do when somebody selects a practitioner, the best question you can ask is, how do you feel after a long day of working on many people? If their answer is, I'm totally exhausted, but I feel grateful that I sacrificed for the well-being of the world, blah, blah, run away. That's not the practitioner to see. The one who says, oh my God, I have so much energy, I have a hard time going to sleep, that's the one to go see and make your appointment at the end of the day. Because a good practitioner gets more energized every single session they give. They have more energy, more gratitude, and more fun. And the poor practitioner gets drained and tired. And so when you interview people who practice a wide range of modalities, some of them will tell you that, yeah, it's a natural consequence to become tired or drained as a result of giving a long session to somebody or a number of people, or that person was so wiped out I became drained working on them. And that's even a Hollywood myth that you see. There's a number of movies that come to mind that where the quote healer, we don't like that word very much, becomes tired or drained from and almost sacrifices their life at times just to help another person. We like to think that the definition of a healer is someone who is sick and got well. And a great healer is someone who is very sick and got well quickly. Because ultimately, all healing is self-healing. And what we're doing is holding the field of vibration to allow them to heal themselves more quickly.
That's, I really appreciate that. That's an excellent point, because I agree with you that I tell people, when people tell me that they get tired, I'm like, something's not right. You know, you're not supposed to get tired, because I actually, when I am feeling tired just in life, I'm like, I need to do an energy healing. I need to connect with another human being on a deeper level. You know, this superficial stuff is driving me crazy. So I appreciate you differentiating the two, because I agree with you. I think that if you're getting tired, something isn't right, because it is supposed to charge both of you. We're going to take a very quick 1 minute break, and we will be back with Richard Gordon.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back with Richard Gordon. And we were talking about how some people get tired when they do healing work, and we both agree that there's something amiss there. Is there something you can suggest for people who do healing work and they do feel like it drains them or they get tired? You know, can you help me also to tell, yeah, you know, people what they might be doing incorrectly, or what they could do differently to make it more of an easier, better experience for them?
Yeah. The quantum touch practitioner does not ever become tired from the sessions, because what we're doing is we're using that combination of the breathing and body awareness exercises to raise their own vibration and create that high energy field. And then the room has to entrain to the practitioner. I remember one woman was telling me she works at a place where everybody's depressed all the time, sort of like a DMV or something. And So before she got cranky herself and became kind of depressive being there, she just started doing the breathing and body awareness exercises and did a distant healing on the entire office space and just lifted up the energy of joy and projected it into the whole office. And then she started hearing the most bizarre conversations. Like one woman was saying, "Well, I don't know why I'm in such a good mood today. Nothing good has happened." And, you know, complaining about how good she was feeling. What happens is, when you learn to impeccably hold the energy, which is just the basis of quantum touch, then you can hold that energy very effectively, and other people will match you. That way, if you walk into a courtroom or a bureaucratic nightmare place and you want to lift your energy so you don't match the energy of the people, you can just do that breathing body awareness stuff, and you'll become the dominant vibration. You know how it is when you walk into a party and you just start feeling happier because everybody's there to feel happy, and it just kind of tends to bring you up with it. Or you walk into a courthouse or a bureaucratic place and you start feeling terrible because so many people have been feeling bad there for so long that it kind of tends to bring you down too. That's the entrainment. But we don't have to let that happen when you know how to run the energy. You can lift that energy really high and let that move you.
Do you find that it's more difficult to work with someone who's depressed or maybe very angry or fearful, or does it not make any difference?
It really doesn't matter. In fact, if you happen to be in any of those states, doing the session will help heal you of those conditions just from doing quantum touch as well. So I remember one time some really bad things had happened. I was very depressed and I had like 8 hours of sessions to give that day. And during one of the sessions, I was holding this woman's head who had been in a whole series of car accidents. And I was just touching her neck lightly. And I was sitting behind her and I had my forehead resting on the top of the table. And then I suddenly noticed I had gone to sleep for about 6 or 8 minutes. I had ended up taking a nap, but I was still doing the breathing and I was still moving the energy through my body really intensely. When she got off the table, she said, "Oh my God, that was the best session I ever got. I really got out of the way in that one." But the truth is that you can continue running the energy. And many times I would wake up and I was doing the breathing and the sweeping in my dream. And I was running the energy in my sleep. So running energy is just a term I use for the combination of the breathing and body awareness exercise. So if you don't know what that means, that's where it comes from.
And I love the title of your new book, The New Human. What Yes. is the new human?
Well, when you realize that you can project your love and amplify it and send it anywhere, anywhen, that these are whole sets of new abilities. So I found out, for example, that I, like I said, I could work 3 to 5 times faster without even touching people, regardless of distance. That I could work on multiple conditions simultaneously, multiple people simultaneously. And one of the ways I figured this out was I tried to, you know, because I'm really kind of the empirical scientist myself, I like to do tests on things that I can actually see whether I got a definitive result or not. So I was using untwisting the front of the hips, the back of the hips, and the occipital ridge as a way to see if I could do this. So I tried to hold all three of those thoughts in my head simultaneously. Front of the hips, back of the hips, occipital ridge, and it was an utter failure. I could not hold all three thoughts at once. Then I came up with an idea. I drew a little sketch, call it an icon or a little image, and I gave myself the intent that this meant the front of the hips, the back of the hips, and the occipital ridge all at the same time. And I studied it with the intent that that's what the meaning of it was. So I gave a meaning to my little icon. Then I measured a friend and looked off in a different direction and saw the icon in the middle of the air, just visualizing it there with my eyes open, and started projecting the energy into the icon without thinking about his hips and occipital ridge. In a few seconds, he said, "Oh my God, everything moved inside me." And I measured him and it all come into alignment, because you can take an idea, which I'll call an icon, an image that represents an idea, and you can move the energy into the idea and have that have impact. This is real magic. This is, you know, they call it a sigil in the old magic books. Now we call it an icon. You know, Microsoft Word has a W, and sometimes it's blue, and sometimes it's green, and sometimes it's red, but it doesn't really matter, because when you press the W, you get the program coming in. Similarly, you can create icons for things that you desire. We have people using this work for manifestation of things they want in their life. And a woman in Hawaii, just incredible manifestations of, you know, the house, the perfect house that she wanted, and this with 50 qualities and one she hadn't even thought of too on top of it. By the way, that particular woman, Kim, did some incredible work on preemies, some premature babies, but babies born with real bad lung problems where they had severe breathing problems, and she'd work on them for a few minutes and the breathing problems would clear up. She worked with children with misshapen heads. And in one case, they said, well, the whole top of the head collapsed. It was under the rib of the mother, and we're going to have to do surgery to get the cranial bones in the right position. While they were prepping everything, she had close to an hour with the baby. And she was holding the baby, running energy into the baby's head. The baby's head completely corrected, and they didn't need to do the surgery. We really don't know the limits of what's possible. We sincerely don't know this at all. This is an issue that means that we get to redefine what we are. And I think that the truth is that we are spiritual beings. We've identified with our humanness. And the more we understand that our love is really valuable, it has tremendous impact. It truly matters. And when you think about it, you realize all the people who have hurt you in your life gave you the exact opposite message. They let you know that your love wasn't valuable. It didn't matter how much you loved or how much you cared or what you wanted to do. It had no impact. It wasn't good enough. The people who hurt us most always give us that martyred message that your love what didn't matter, didn't have impact, and wasn't valuable. And what we're seeing from this work is that your love is the most valuable thing in the world. It has tremendous impact, even if you don't believe it. You don't need to believe in this stuff. As I had said years ago, you don't need to believe in the ocean to get wet. You just got to jump in. And that's what the case is. You just try it and you discover, oh my God, this actually worked. And then you go further and further down this delightful rabbit hole where you discover that we really do have these abilities.
Well, I love this phrase about the babies. That makes me emotional. It makes me so happy that people are using this technique on children, since I have such deep, strong feelings for children. Richard, one of my co-hosts would like to ask you a question. Stephen, did you have a question for Richard?
I did, actually. It's slightly off topic or kind of going back to our original topic, but I got a question. I'm a rookie, and I'm wondering if there's any relationship between the temperature of my hands and my ability to do things with my energy, like heal people or even other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, let's consider the question. Can you love somebody if your hands are cold?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the answer. So some people say, well, can I do this work with my shoes on? Well, can you love somebody when you're wearing shoes? Yes. You know, and you see, we've gotten so nervous, like, oh, if the conditions aren't perfectly right, I don't have the perfect room and I don't have the perfect candle, maybe I can't do this stuff. And the answer is, this is robust. Because we are made of the fabric of love. That's what we are. We're these incredible beings of love here, rediscovering who we really are. And it works all the time. Now, there are times that this healing doesn't work. I'm just saying the ability to move the energy works all the time. How the person receives it may not be 100%. So we see something like 8 or 10% of the time, we're not going to make much progress on a condition. And by the way, I like to tell the truth. I don't want to exaggerate anything or undersell anything. And sometimes you're not going to see good results. And when that happens, we like to use a different technique, and I call it self-created health. And this is something that took me 30 years to figure out. Back in 1980, I woke up with severe flu symptoms, a deep gurgling chest cough, severe fever, terrible headache, bones aching. I just felt terrible. And I thought I was going to be sick for at least a week. But I crawled out of bed, since I had just attended a workshop a couple days before. And in the workshop, the teacher was suggesting that health conditions have an emotional basis and probably suppressed anger in one form or another. So I looked to see what I was upset about, and I couldn't find anything. I looked at my childhood. And the weird thing was, I was so emotionally numb, I couldn't feel any emotion. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me that a friend had said something intentionally humiliating in front of my friends. And as soon as I was aware of it, wow, my emotions flooded in on me. I could get angry and I could cry and I could feel it and I could vent. So I let myself vent for about 10 minutes, just the intensity of those emotions. I was feeling a little better, so I got up and took a shower, drove downtown Santa Cruz where I lived at the time, sat in the sun, drank a cup of coffee, and halfway through the cup, I go, oh my God, I was sick this morning. And all the flu symptoms were completely gone. Within about 3 years, I figured out a series of questions interrogative questions to ask people, and we could pretty much nail down the emotional cause of a condition. But then it took me another 27 years to put together the rest of the system. And the rest of the system had those first two steps, the discovery of what the emotional cause was. The second step, of course, is the release, has to be that. The third step is the dangerous one. The third step is the one that gets people in big trouble because they try to take responsibility. I know I'm doing this to myself. I'm responsible for my own illness. And then that gets all the criticism from people. How dare you blame the victim for being sick and blah, blah. And they get really mean and nasty about that particular idea. That's only the third step. That's not the first or second step. And you see people beating themselves up forever. Well, I know I did this to myself, and I just feel so bad that, and they just keep beating themselves. It's an endless cycle. The third step is the insight that you had done it to yourself, which immediately needs to be transferred into remorse that you had hurt yourself. And now the bow, like a bow and arrow, has been pulled back all the way, and we're ready for self-forgiveness. And the self-forgiveness method that I came up with is so powerful, it leads to explosive self-love, uncontainable self-love, more than you've ever experienced before, which I call spiritual self-love, where you realize that you're so grateful for having had the condition because it showed how you had stopped loving. So I remember one woman had severe sciatic pain. And she couldn't sleep at night. She would cry herself to sleep because the pain down her leg was so severe from the sciatica. And I used about 8 or 10 minutes of quantum touch, expecting it to be all she needed. It didn't do anything for her at all. And like I say, 8% of the time or something, you're going to hit a wall, or you'll only see temporary benefit. And in her case, I helped her figure out what this extremely painful emotion was, and to give her some techniques on processing. She's slept fine ever since and hasn't had any more sciatic problem. Because when you get to that emotional core level and can release those emotions, that's where the real healing and empowerment comes in. Because ultimately, there are some things we can do with energy, and when you can't do them with energy, that's when we look for the emotional causes. So we've got a whole program for people interested in that particular thing. We even have about 35 instructors teaching it around the world, teaching people how to find release and work with the emotional causes.
Well, that was a great question, Steve, and I'm sure a lot of people thought of that. I've thought of that myself, how it affects, because my hands tend to run cold. So I'm glad you asked that question. I'm sure many people are thinking about that. And then I have another host, Maureen, who would also like to ask you a question. Richard, Maureen?
Good. Well, I know there's not a lot of time, but I wanted to let you know that there is a new pioneer of people as my daughter, who is going to Columbia, that is now, she's in neuroscience, but bringing in the spirituality and how meditation, everything, that we are crossing over in a really great time right now. People are finally getting it with the science and the spirituality, and I hope, if you're aware of this, it's a really great time that we're in.
It really is, but in my correspondence with Rupert Sheldrake, he's pretty discouraged because the mindset of the scientists is still toward materialism. And what I want to do is I want to support Rupert because I have some discoveries that validate about 60% of the ideas that he's been putting out. And the scientists who study meditation and spirituality are generally, not always, still thinking it's a physical epiphenomena that's coming from the electrochemical reaction of the brain, and they see it from that point of view, not that we have a higher self, God, Goddess, all that is, infinite intelligence, and so forth. Not from that point of view, but from an epiphenomenal process of the electrochemical reactions in the brain. And as long as people see it from that physical point of view, they limit the kinds of questions that they can ask and the kinds of things that they can see. There's been some research showing a pre-sponse where when people see photographs of either very disturbing images like auto accidents or very loving images of the mother holding the child's hand or something. They don't know. The computer is deciding a millisecond before the image is shown, but their brain is responding through the EEG a second or 3 seconds before the image is shown, that there's a wave from the future that's breaking upon the present constantly. And other scientists have been finding it. Some of the scientists I've found out about have been afraid to publish this information. And somebody else recently published some new information, I haven't read the article yet, but about how the future impacts the present. Now, this will be the biggest revolution in science in 400 years for people to realize that the spiritual metaphysical is real, and that we can build our science around an understanding of that and not simply dismiss it because it's inconvenient towards the things that they know or want to believe are true.
Well, thank you, Richard, very much. I appreciate that very much. And the interview. Thank you.
Let's get your daughter a copy of the book, because I think when they start testing brainwaves and other things with this energy, we're going to see some remarkable things.
Right. I will do that. Definitely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, Richard, this has just been a wonderful interview. I have been an admirer of yours for a very long time, and I'm so grateful for you to come by, and I just want to thank you again.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure. It's a real delight to be here.
And now Stephen has some announcements.
That's right. Well, first of all, I'd like to remind everybody that they can find Richard's book, Richard Gordon, at quantumtouch.com. Strongly recommend you go there and pick up his new book, The New Human. I just love the title of that book. I know I'm going there to get my own copy. But first of all, before we get to the second hour of the show where we take your live calls, I want to make a couple of announcements here. First of all, we're definitely not done. We have another hour left of some remarkable programming, and we're going to announce a call-in number later, so have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't catch last week's show on Feng Shui, you'll be happy to learn that you can find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Under the Archives tab. Never miss your favorite psychic radio show ever again. It's all there for posterity forever. Rush over to the archives and linger when you get there. Please also spread the archive links around, and also share the future show details with your friends and family around the internet. What we want to do is to connect with as many of you as possible, so we'd like you to share our links and the light of knowledge and comfort that they bring with other people. Share it with your social media, Facebook, Twitter. We need your help in letting the world know the goodness that we have here at Psychic Viewpoint. Be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything related to metaphysics and spiritual matters for free. Everything from reincarnation to soulmate seeking to developing your own psychic abilities is there. Psychicbloggers.com. Spread the word. Now, if you need a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with his or her own unique gifts. Every psychic at psychicaccess.com has a detailed profile for you to discover more about her or him. You can choose from a list of some of the most authentically gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and the Psychic Access team because of the high expectations required of each psychic advisor. All of my co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a detailed personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. Incidentally, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading for traffic that's referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, we sincerely hope that you do, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room. We want all of you to listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Now, Sadia, we've come to that part of the show where all of us get to weigh in with our opinions and everything. So let me just say, first of all, thank you for a wonderful interview.
Well, thank you. So, Stephen, I'm excited to find out what you thought about it. You had a great question, too.
Well, you know what? Rookies often do have great questions because they can see angles and perspectives that the veterans sometimes miss out on. You know what I mean, Sadia?
Definitely.
And the thing that I'm always fascinated with is I don't know, the idea of touch. And if you look at physicians, doctors, I mean, what is it about going to the doctor? For me, the best part, the most healing part, is to feel the ice coldness of his hand or her hands, you know, touching my body. I mean, there's something therapeutic in that. Wouldn't you say?
It's a little counterintuitive.
Well, I mean, that's the most important part of the transaction between healer or physician. And I use that term to be all inclusive of people like Mr. Gordon and like yourself, Sadia, who do heal people through energy work. You know, I tend to think of all of these sorts of people, whether licensed by the state or not, as a sort of physician. So I think that in that transaction, touch is one of the most important elements.
Well, and I love that he talked about the fact that everybody can do this, because I do think it's innate. I mean, I do believe that if you've spent more past lives really focusing on developing this ability, it's going to happen more quickly and more powerfully for you. But that if you start now, that means, you know, three more lifetimes, you know, down the road, you'll be a master. But I do think it's something that everybody can do. I mean, I noticed, you know, like I said, I've worked with kids for 30 years, and I noticed that when they hurt themselves, they put their hand. You know, you think it would be the last thing you want to do if you have an ouch, you know, is to put your hand on it because it's sensitive. But they immediately put their hand on it. And it is instinctive. You know, we do have these natural abilities. So I'm excited about him telling people to, you know, that everybody can do it, because I think they think it's something you have to be born with.
Well, one thing that I'm always curious about, and one thing, what I love about energy work is that it has the power, and I think this might be the problem with this, that one reason why society might turn its nose up at it, it has the power to liberate us from the grip of the pharmaceuticals, from the grip of a healthcare industry that might be oriented more towards sickness than wellness. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
That's one thing I would like to see take hold with all of the energy work that's going on now. And thankfully, we live in an environment and a culture that is becoming more and more open to various types of energy work and is embracing all sorts of alternative therapies and things of that nature. So this is really, to me, I was just completely stimulated by this interview, and it opens up a whole new world of spiritual investigation for me that I'm going to read up on.
Wonderful. I'm glad it inspired you. I mean, all of the interviews I've heard of with you guys with tarot and feng shui and things that I've dabbled in but not really mastered certainly inspired me. So I'm glad that this was, you know, interesting to you. And Steve, I'm curious what you thought about it. I think you've done some energy work, haven't you? Some healing work as well?
I did a long time ago in spiritualist churches in the UK. But I haven't done recently. I would like to. I think that all of our work is healing, you know, whether we're providing evidence that somebody continues to exist in spirit, or we're helping somebody with insights so that they can create the future they want to create, averting a problem or embracing a good opportunity. I think it's all healing. But no, I don't generally do hands-on healing, Satya, but it's something I'm interested in, and I want to say to you that was a brilliant interview. Your guest is absolutely wonderful. I must get his book. I really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad. Well, I read Quantum Touch, but I have not read his new book, The New Human, but I'm really excited about it. So,
yes, I must get that. Really, you can just tell from his tone of voice, his energy, the way he articulates that he comes from a truly spiritual place. Very genuine guy doing wonderful work.
Yeah, and it's, you know, he was a pioneer because he came out before, you know, talking about this before it was as common as it is now. It's much more acceptable. But, you know, when I read his book, you know, it was something you kind of had to keep secret. You know, you couldn't talk about energy healing. Now, so many people, you know, they see acupuncturists and they see massage therapists and they see energy healers and they take yoga. It's really opened the door so that there isn't a negative stigma. And now people are intrigued and are also wanting to learn how to do it themselves. And he actually does have a training that you can do. If you go to quantumtouch.com, he will actually train you. He has different people that he has that will do that. So that's exciting too. So Maureen, What did you think about the interview?
Oh, he was fantastic. You know, I don't know if he understood. He was so lovely to answer the question, but I don't know if he understood what I was trying to convey, or if he was aware of this, and I don't think maybe he was, but because this is such a new thing and what's happening now, I'm so happy that you had this guest on, and I know of him, he's wonderful. But what I was when I asked him about what's happening now, for instance, Columbia is a very Ivy League school, I guess they call it, and because of my daughter's generation, she's a neuroscience, but they have a specialized program. They're just starting out 10 years down the line, or 15 years, they're finding out where she's coming from anyway, and there's going to be more following, are people that are now seeing, even though the scientist, you're a scientist first, but then she's doing a master's program starting June and then going into the PhD. But what their program is about, and he said it too, is fascinating. It's about the program they started there is that they say that love is the fabric of the universe. That's how they're approaching it. So there is a really great new shift going on, and it's almost like they're seeing. So the neuroscience or psychologists, psychotherapists, they have a specialized degree program in spirituality, whether it be like my daughter did some meditation. It's proven fact it does this and this and this, not just because, you know, for years everybody was saying, now, meditation won't help you with depression. Meditation won't, you know, do everything, but is now, I'm giving you an example of that. But it's like there is a new time coming, and more people, and they're even offering a degree program specialized with just this, people that are going to research or counseling or whatever have you. And I'm really happy to hear about that, because that, I feel, is exactly what we all need, and to know our mind is so powerful. Like he said, anybody can do the touch. Anybody. I did it too. I was warming my hands up because I have a knee. I have another knee issue I have to have surgery on immediately. And when he did that, I was doing touch and trying to feel. I'm going to heal myself because I really would like to. But I do feel definitely that is something that does work. And yeah, our mind is a very powerful, muscle. Right, yeah. It's plastic. What do they call it, you guys? Brain plastic. What do you call it, plastic? Anybody want to help me out?
Muscle works for me. Muscle works for me.
Yeah, I think, and they call it my daughter calls it plastic. But it's incredible how our mind, but they are, people, the scientific nature are taking it through, and even the Ivy League schools are offering specialized, for the first time, degree programs just to go into that area. So I'm really happy. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of great changes. Not medicating a lot of little kids and doing all that, but also the healing part. And it is, it's about the fabric. Love is a fabric of our universe. That's what this is all about.
Well, and I like the fact that he tapped into it, that it's just love. You know, I call it
exactly.
Love.
Yeah, it is exactly. So,
and we all can love, so we all can heal. That's healing.
And if the science is crossing over with what is really love, loving and stuff, that's what it was when doctors were healers way back when. They were very similar to the real healers that we're talking, like what he's reflective of. Think about it. You know, many, many moons ago, the healer was not just like our doctors are today. Because I was there in that past life, but I just feel we're in a really great time. I want to have my knee healed. I'm gonna line my whole body up, and I think Scrady can do it from afar. I'm gonna get that book of his, definitely.
Great.
Thank you, Saudi. You had a great guy, great interview. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah. You know, we are entering the Aquarian age, and it's the age of, you know, of healing and, you know, and information. So everything is now available to us. All these things that were secretive and, you know, people were doing behind closed doors, it's all out in the open. Every resource that we need is made available to us. So it's a very exciting time in that respect. One thing I liked about him talking about love is that from my experience from doing medium readings and communicating with my guides, is that when we're on the other side without these bulky bodies, when we meet someone that we know and love, we merge energies. It's almost like pouring two glasses of water into one, and we become one, and then we pull away, and we still have our independence and our own energy, but we leave a reserve. There's like a residue of energy from the other person that goes with you, and vice versa. And the same thing happens when I do energy work here. That's what I've been able to do, is kind of get past the barrier of the body and merge like that. And it's interesting because sometimes it's the first time I've ever met the person and I just am madly in love with them. I just feel like they're my child, they're my spouse, they're my mother, they're my sister, they're everything to me. And I've even had some clients that have told me that they fell in love with me, and I had to convince them. I said, just give it some time and eventually you'll be done with me, trust me. But it does wear, and it wears off. Eventually they're like, okay, I don't know what that was. They always think I put a spell on them or something, but it's just love.
You know, it's just loving. It
yeah,
is
it's
love.
Just feeling that loved by somebody without any judgment or criticism, yes. And without, you know, all of the sexual and romantic, you know, overtones, just genuine, pure love. We don't feel it very often here. And so that's really all it is.
Yeah. And we can heal each other. We all can do this for each other. I mean, if just being is just being and using love, and not using love, and being in the state of love. Authentically, you know, that's exactly right. I love that.
Yeah. So, Steve, do you think you might go out and buy his book?
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Good.
I wanted to ask you a question, actually, Sadia. You were talking about how when we fall in love with someone, when we love someone deeply, our energy is somehow merged or far more closely connected. Do you think that that's why when relationships go sour, they can be so painful?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that have you ever like cuddled with someone and you just want to get in them? Like you're just like the body is in the way. You want to cuddle with them on a deeper, deeper level. That's that feeling that I'm talking about, where this body is in the way and you want to merge energies with them and you can. But I also
usually, Sarge, I'm really like books. So usually I want to read a good book.
Okay.
Quite cold. I'm really joking.
Well,
it depends. If I haven't got a good book, because, you know, it's quite hard. I love to read, but, you know, sometimes you just find a book that is just exquisite. You can't stop. But yes. It doesn't happen very often, does it? So it probably depends on what kind of book I've got.
Right. Well, I also feel that what happens is that when we fall in love with someone, there are cords from our heart center to their heart center.
Yeah.
And so what happens is when somebody breaks your heart or betrays you, it's like they cut those cords and you can actually feel physical pain in the heart.
I've had that experience. I remember when I was living in the UK and I discovered that my partner had cheated on me, and I collapsed to the floor. I just dropped. Oh. It's like, imagine you imagine somebody standing and it's as though their skeleton just collapses within them. I literally just dropped to the floor.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I think that relationships are wonderful, but they really have to be well managed so that they're harmonious, because I think that they can do a lot of damage to our health. I think staying in a bad relationship is extremely damaging for our health.
I agree with that. And I've actually worked with people doing healing and also teaching yoga who were in unhealthy relationships. And it was almost like they were on pills. You know, I could tell energetically they weren't, but they were so numb. Like you have to go somewhere else in order to survive that. And so you lose part of yourself. You know, you have to disappear and kind of check out a little bit. And my goal was to kind of help them check in. So I totally agree with you. And there are people who've been hospitalized for heartbreaks. I mean, that has happened.
Yeah. Well, so. did you hear the partner of the French president was hospitalized?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
When she realized that he'd been unfaithful, she was hospitalized.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, a lot of people's energy are actually blocked at the fourth and fifth chakras, and I believe that's why. Just being hurt, you know, just being betrayed by people and damaged and wounded and surprised and shocked, and you know, it does, what happens is you have to turn something off, and so often I feel like people block their energy, it gets stagnant, it just stays there because it stops moving. And I think it's a protection. It's almost like, you know, the turtle shell, you know, it's like we have so many barriers, and we also, you know, manipulate our own energy subconsciously when we are hurt. You know, it does stop moving and stop flowing, and that's a big part of what I do when I do energy healing, is just get the movement going again. Yeah, definitely. So I just wanted to remind everybody that the call-in number, if you would like to get your free 6-minute reading, is 724-444-4851. And we would love to hear from people and give you a reading. So Stephen, what else do you think about that interview? Anything that inspired you? Anything that you, any questions that you have for me? I do a little bit of it myself.
That's right. You do a lot of it yourself. Well, you know, the thing that interested me when I asked that my question about the hands was that, you know, the answer that I seemed to understand was that as long as you're, you know, love is the prerequisite here. And you made some comments about love. And so, you know, that's what interests me, that as long as I have love in my heart, then it doesn't really matter the temperature of my hands. And so I would expect that to be the most important area if I'm interested in healing people, you know, to focus on my ability to love, both to give it and to receive it in a generic sort of way, in a sort of a collective, non-specific kind of a way, if that makes sense. That's what I'm inspired to do now.
Certainly. Yeah, definitely.
And I really loved your analogy of the blending, the merging of energies, obviously. But I think the part of it that really affected me the most was the fact that when you disengage, there's still a little bit of fluid left in the glass. There's still that little bit of residue.
Definitely. And that's why it's so important. You know, for me, I keep my energy really clean. You know, I'm very careful about what I consume, and, you know, on a psychic level and spiritual level, and also careful about what I consume just, you know, through eating and health, because I'm aware that I am exchanging energy with someone, and I only want to give them something really pure. And I don't want to, you know, have any toxic energy going into that person at all.
Ah. That makes a lot of sense. The health of the body is definitely garbage in, garbage out kind of a situation. Well, you know what, Sadia? Because I could, talking to you, I could get going all night, but we got somebody on the line from Massachusetts who would like to get through to me. Hello, Massachusetts. Are you there?
Hi. Yeah, I'm here. I really have started liking your shows as I dial into them every Thursday. And my name is Richa. I have asked you several questions before. Recently, like the person whom I used to report to, New England Collaboration Lead, at my company was resigned or was fired. I don't know what happened, but I was very interested in this position. So I'm just curious if this is heaven's message to me that I can now get it, or...
Okay. Well, let me understand your question, okay? So there's a position that you're trying to get, and you essentially want to know if you're going to get it, if this is a sign from God that you're doing the right thing as far as your career. Am I understanding that correctly? Or no?
Correct.
That's what you
yes.
want to know, okay?
Yes,
okay.
That's my...
Okay. All right. 1 second. Let's see what we got here. Okay. And you said your name was Richa, right? Am I saying that correctly as well? Richa. Huh. Well, let's see what we have here. This is a really tough one. This is a really tough one. You're going to make me work for my supper tonight, Richa. I can tell you that. Is this something that you should be doing? I'm going to say yes. I tell you what, I mean, all of my spirit guides are both coming in on 50-50 on this. This is a really tough one. However, it doesn't mean I can't answer your question. Are you supposed to be doing what you're doing? I see the whole situation here in front of me. Going forward, the Nine of Coins tells me that what you're doing is going to rely a lot on money from other people. I would imagine the Nine of Coins, I don't want to say venture capitalists or investments or anything, but perhaps collecting funds from people. The Nine of Coins always symbolizes sort of a social aspect to the finances. And so that seems to be what you're doing right now. But looking into the near future, and I'll just go ahead and tell you right off the bat, should you be doing this or not? Let me just go ahead and say what I'm looking at right now is not a slam dunk, first of all. There's going to be a lot of disappointments. The Eight of Swords tells me that you're going to have some problems with your reputation doing what you're doing right now. And also you're going to have some monetary problems doing what you're doing right now. But on the bright side, the Two of Cups reversed after that seems to hint that the hardships you go through are going to be for a good reason. However, I'm going to tell you this right now. I think ultimately towards the end of this, you're still not going to be any more sure of what you're doing. The Lover's card tells me that as this situation progresses into the future, you're still going to be puzzled about what you should be doing. That right there is evidence to me that, first of all, you know, if you have to ask if this is the right thing you should be doing, then it's not the right thing you should be doing. Do you see what I'm saying, Richard? Deep down inside, you'll know. Your intuition will tell you. And I'm telling you right now, what I see for you is a lot of indecisive days ahead. I got to be honest with you about that. That's why you called.
Ma'am? This particular position, the market lead position, is to drive sales, like it's to drive business in the region. Right. And when you say, like, you know, it is related to social relationships and money, yeah, that's true. Because if you have to win any new business, you need to be able to work with people and drive close sales along with the salespeople.
Now, this is going to be the problem, so Rich. I want you to listen to me. People are not going to be willing to part with their money so swiftly these days. I think that's where you're going to have the biggest problem. You're going to have to solicit such a large number of people, do you see? That's going to be the problem. Now, knowing this in advance, you need to know what you're going to have to expect going into this beforehand, and you've probably been doing this for a while. But I see right now the biggest problem is going to be finding the volume of people. Yes, ma'am.
Not from the position and title point of view. I never had this title. I had only been helping out with shaping certain deals and what have you. But okay. Those deals have not been signed or closed. Actually, we lost one of the big deals very recently, which actually internally everybody said that, you know, it's very well done and I got applaud for it and everything. But that didn't get signed. So at the end of the day, whosoever comes in this position is going to face the same challenges as I would face. But is this like the resignation of the acting person in this spot? Was it heaven's sign that I should step up and do his job, or not quite? Like, just let it be and just do whatever I'm doing.
Oh, now, you know, unfortunately, that's a second question. As much as I hate to do this, because we have such a limited time, if you want to ask a question like that, that's going to really require us to dig into it. Because, see, I would have to make a whole other set of preparations. Your original question was, am I doing the right thing? Now you're asking, you know, should I step up into this dude's position? You know, what you should do is give us a call at psychicaccess.com where we have more than just a handful of minutes. You have a very complex situation, Richard. Now, I'll just go ahead and tell you. I'll tell you real quickly before we terminate here, unfortunately, due to time restrictions. Looking into the future, the next couple of months, I don't expect things to be very easy. I would expect the financial picture to be a little bit on the downside, and I would expect that to continue for the next a couple of weeks and maybe even a couple of months. But I do see that you'll dig in your heels here and you're going to put forth the effort. But again, I would just expect there to be some trouble over the next couple of weeks and the next, maybe even the next month or so, 2 months at the most. Okay. It's not going to be easy for you, Rich. And unfortunately I have to conclude the call now, but I want you to know that you're definitely going to have to put in a lot of effort to get sort of an average, if that, return. And I wish I could have a more positive outcome for you here, but this is what the future looks like, unfortunately, from right now. Okay, now, the challenges are going to be coming your way, so if you dig your heels in and fight, you can overcome them. I want you to know that as well, okay? I see that also in the picture. but you're going to have to work really hard in terms of contacting a large number of people, in terms of always staying on top of your contacts and things like that. Okay. And that's what I see going forward for you. Now, as far as your other questions, again, we got to conclude the call, but just give us a ring at psychicaccess.com and we can get into this situation for you in all of its details. We can significantly and definitively talk about this situation, okay? Instead of just one aspect of it. Okay,
Rachel? Okay, but I didn't get an answer whether eventually I will be successful or not. Like, is it even...
No, ma'am, you're not, unfortunately. I wish I could say that you were. I do not see success in this venture for you. I'm sorry about that. I don't see long-term success in this venture. I apologize for being so negative, okay? But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie to you. You need to know this. Okay?
Okay, now,
I'm afraid we have to move on to other callers, okay? I know it's hard, but I mean, from what I see here, the truth of the situation is that this is not going to be a profitable venture. If I were you, I would find another industry to get involved in. All right. Well, at any rate, moving on here, moving right along. Maureen, we have a caller for you from Virginia.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen. Hello, Virginia. This is Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. How are you?
Fine. How are you? May I have your name, please?
My name is Lakevia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I have a question about my marriage. Me and my husband, we're separated, and I'm trying to see, is it going to lead to divorce, or are we going to get together?
Got it. And you have very nice energy, and I feel you have very good intentions of the best, and this is what I'm getting. I said
we're separated, and I'm just trying to figure out where is it leading. Married 10 years, got 2 kids.
Is he going to get it together?
Yes, he really does. And I'm trying to see, is he going to?
Is it going to be where, I understand exactly what you're saying. This is what I'm seeing. And I'm feeling is that there's been some intense things that have gone on, and feeling like there's a bit of betrayal that has gone on. I don't know the exact situation. And even though it's not around, but I do feel that you reflect upon it. And I'm not saying it has to be big. Whatever it is to you, it mattered, of course. I do see right now that he is actually juggling two situations at one time, which I feel when people do that, that's all wonderful. But it's almost like he's trying to distract himself from what he needs. I do feel his marriage matters, and keeping the marriage and being with you, I feel is very important to him. But he's able to distract himself by being a juggler. And by doing that, the juggling act will be over soon. And I do see that he's working, heading somewhere, you know, with his work stuff. There's always something else about, there's not always, but a lot of times there's something within this person. I'm not saying that he needs to grow up, but he's a little bit he's not as evolved or mindful of like you are, but it's really important for him to be able to show that he has the ability to make something wonderful in his work. And that hasn't been the case. And I do feel that it's a lot easier on a marriage when the person's feeling good about what they're doing or productively being, or for you to see them and respect them. And I'm not saying you would say, I don't respect you no matter what you do, but I wanted to ask you about his work real quick, or the work he does.
He's in the military. He's in the military.
Okay, did he want to come out of the
military? He's in the military.
Yeah, I mean, was he talking about wanting to come out of the military or whenever that can be? Because I see some new situation coming up in the next 3 months that would be very good and calming, and that you're so angry at him. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I do see you angry. You're angry with him. But I do feel it's almost like he wants to be able to do something. Bless his heart, being in the military, I mean, I have so much respect for everybody in the military and offering what they're doing. But I do see him wanting to come back around into a different, I don't know how that works because I'm not you know, well versed in the military when you civilian to get out. I don't know how long he has, but I do see him being closer. Is he close by you right now, locality wise?
Yeah, we're in the same. Yeah, we're in the same town. We're both in Virginia.
Okay. Okay. Oh, great. I do see him going to some other area or building. It's going to really make it feel the connection. You know, you have some, and I'm not saying you're a bad person, but are you the type of person, like when you snap, I mean, you're really wonderful, but when you get angry, you're mad. You're mad.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I've been going through so much stuff, and it's just emotionally draining now because, you know, we have kids, we have like 10 years invested. So it's a lot, you know. And
I know, and you should express your anger.
Grow up.
It's okay.
You need to grow up.
It's okay, but you know, I also feel that it's going to be a tough 6 months ahead. I do not feel or encourage you to let this go into the other step, which would be filing for divorce. This is where I'm coming from, because what I'm seeing here, I see him stepping it up. I also feel around August is going to be a lot of – you'll see some effort on his part, not just talkity talk. You know, it's not just about a talk, I'm going to be better. I do feel that you two – I see you sharing and being very – a natural togetherness and sharing together, feeling really happy. Doing something that you forgot about who you were, it's a playfulness. It's not – it's like reconnecting or redefining your relationship. I feel it will be difficult, but I do feel August will be a nice little break. But I do feel he's worth it. It's been very unfair. There's been a lot of stuff that you've been dealing with. It's his demons, his issues, his lessons. And you shouldn't have to help him work out his stuff, that's for sure. But I definitely feel that this relationship is worthy of hanging in there. And I'm not saying you for to wait or try to fix him.
Yeah, because I just want him just to grow up and just to understand that our family comes first, you know.
Exactly.
And for him just to know that I'm not against him, for him. But he keeps, you know, insinuating I am. Like, we as one. When you hurt, I hurt. You understand? So
I also feel this is something that's really good. I also feel that you will... It's not about you telling him what to do. I feel he's going to be coming into a better place with himself. So therefore, you'll see a change in him. It's not because he grew up or anything. He's starting to feel better within himself as his man person is. And I do feel that it's good for you to express anger. I see this. I see you two getting through this. It's difficult, but you'll get through it. And you'll be able to handle everything coming your way. I do see some good things coming your way. I would hang in there. And I do believe in, I do see him coming, rising to the occasion. Really, I do. He loves you.
Yeah,
he loves his family.
You know, I just hope so that he just, you know, stop listening to everybody else and just, you know.
Yeah, I do feel that is heading in that direction. Definitely.
Right.
It's hard. I'm not saying for you to wait for him. Just flow with the flow. And I wouldn't give up on him. I feel that you will not be disappointed. Okay.
Okay.
I hope I helped you. Thank you for calling.
10 years is a long time. I love my husband with everything. I just want to make sure that it was going to go in the direction for our family. It was going to go in the right direction. I don't mind waiting for my husband, but I just want to make sure that we're not going to go backwards. We're going to go forward. You understand?
No, it won't be like that. No, it won't be. You won't be going back. You have boundaries. You're doing well. You're doing well. That's what you're doing so well about. You're doing fine with what you're taking care of business and boundaries. You'll see he's getting it on his own. He's seen it, and his family matters much to him. But I do feel that he's coming into his own skin again, and he will thrive as he should, even individually, for him to be a good husband and a father and a family man.
Well, that's exactly what I want.
Hard.
Thank you so much. I've been praying for that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling, and have a lovely weekend. Bye-bye.
You do the same. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Maureen, for that excellent reading. And if your life isn't quite right on track, call Maureen at psychicaccess.com. She'll help you find out how to get it back on track. Moving on now, we have a call for Steve from Ohio.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Ohio?
Kathy.
Hello, Kathy. How are you doing?
Pretty good. A little stressed, but pretty good.
Okay, well, sorry to hear that, Kathy. How can we help you?
I have a question. Sometimes when I go to sleep, I see faces of people. Like, I know it's like, right, I know I'm not asleep because I just finally laid my head on the pillow. And I didn't know if this would kind of maybe help me in a direction. And, because I used to read tarot cards, but I've been so, like popcorn right now that I just haven't been able to focus. But it's just kind of like, sometimes when I go to sleep, I hear like voices talking to me, but I really don't remember what it is they're saying to me.
Yeah, well, you know, Kathy, when we are in that sleep state, when we're not in a deep sleep necessarily, we do sense spirits. I think that particularly you should pay attention as you're awaking in the morning. So that's the best time to meditate, really, in my opinion, when you're waking up. And even if you wake up, but you decide that you'll close your eyes and just drift off a little more, it's in that phase of your sleep cycle that you're particularly well attuned to spirit. And I do feel that you've got a good connection to spirit, but I also know that you've had an extremely stressful time. So I feel for a good 12 months you've had a lot on your plate, a lot of anxiety, and it seemed to come to a head a few weeks ago. Did you find that your stress level accumulated a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I'm just, my plate, as soon as I get one thing off, it's pulled back up with something else, yeah.
Yeah, and so, in honesty, life is not the greatest or the most fun for you at the moment, and that's a challenge. I can see that a lot of it is family-related, that a lot of this is about members of the family, and I can see as well that you you're such a rock. You really are there for people. You're there for everybody, but you know that you overextend yourself. Because in actual fact, if it wasn't for all of the concern within the family, if it wasn't for everything that you're doing to help the family, you'd actually be in pretty good shape. Because your life's in pretty good order. It's to do with the drama around you, really. So it's challenging, and I know that you're not going to just give up on people. You're always going to be there for them. But you are, at the same time, to some degree, sacrificing your peace of mind, your happiness. So my guide is saying to you, actually, do you know, do you have a Pete? Peter?
A what?
Does the name Pete, Peter, make sense to you?
Peter? No?
Because I get the name Peter very strongly.
Peaches?
No, Peter. Pete or Peter.
Like pizza, like you eat pizza?
No, Peter. P-E-T-E-R.
No, I don't know anybody named Peter yet. Maybe they're coming in. Maybe that's who talks to me when I'm sleeping. I don't know.
No, this is a member of the family in spirit, but it's about two generations up. But I get the name Peter really very, very clearly. So if you can check, if you've got the family tree, check. I'm sure you'll find that there's an Uncle Pete up there in the family. It feels more on your father's side of the family than your mother's side of the family, but just check. But you need to try to organize life so that you at least have some time for yourself, because you're carrying so much responsibility, juggling so much, that what's important to you seems to fall to the wayside. And my guides are saying, if you can try to calm that down a bit, if you can at least try and create some space for yourself, you'll see that your connection to spirit grows. But at the same time, your family troubles are not over, and you have to find a way to balance everything that's going on with members of the family, and you'll need for a bit of sanity, a bit of space. But you have a connection to spirit.
I keep seeing this dream that I win $500. I don't know if you get into that or not, but I just was going to ask, because I keep having the same dream over and over that on the scratch-off ticket, I win $500.
I'm not supposed to take a second question, I'm not supposed to take a second question.
Do you think the faces I see is somebody from my past, my father's side of the family, and his name is Pete?
I feel that you've got a genuine connection to spirit there, and I do feel that you should pay attention, but I feel that you need to make a little bit of time to meditate in the morning when you're waking up or when you've just woken up. Meditate a little at that time. You've got a great connection to spirit at that time. That's when you'll see most clearly. And as I said, I'm not supposed to answer your second question, but very briefly, I feel that you're right, but I feel actually it'll be a little bit more than the amount you've mentioned. Okay, Kathy?
Okay. Thank you so much. And, you know, I want to really thank you for everybody, because you do so good for people that have a problem, that can't afford, you know, to call someone, and you're true, you know, you're not one of these fake people that costs you a lot of money and, you know, give psychics a bad name, you know?
Well, thank you, Kathy. That means a lot to us. We're here to help, and that means a huge amount. So thank you for your feedback. That's wonderful of you.
Thank you.
All right, Kathy, take care. Bye now.
Thank you very much, Kathy, for calling and listening to the Psychic Viewpoint. If anybody out there is unsure whether or not they're traveling the proper path, call Steve at psychicaccess.com, and he'll definitely help you to find out. Now, moving on here, we have a caller from Florida for Sadia.
Welcome, Florida.
Hello?
Who's calling from Florida?
I am.
And what's your name?
It's Anne.
Hi, Anne. Welcome. How can I help you?
Me and my ex broke up 3 weeks ago, and it's been a rocky road. It's just that I never been to this, I never called this place before. It's just uncertainty about if we are going to get back together or not.
Okay. Well, first of all, welcome. I really appreciate you giving us a call. And can I get your date of birth? It just helps me to tune in better.
2/23, 1994.
And what is your ex's first name and date of birth?
3/27, 1993.
And what's his first name?
Some say his nickname is JJ.
JJ, okay. Well, I'm feeling like he's going through the same thing you're going through. You know, sometimes when people break up, I actually, you know, sometimes I have to tell the person that the other person's relieved. I don't feel that. I really don't. I feel like he's really struggling. And even maybe a little bit of self-medicating. I think he's really depressed about this. I feel like he feels unsure of what he wants to do. I actually recommend that you contact him, Anne. Have you tried calling him? I never recommend text or email because...
I haven't contacted him.
I think
because
it would be a good idea,
and
I do recommend calling. Because like I said, with texting and email, sometimes people really don't get texts or emails, and it's very impersonal, and also there can be misunderstandings. So when it's something this serious, I always recommend phone call. I think he's thought about calling you, and I don't want to say 100% that he wants to get back together. I think he's going through the same thing you're going through. I think you're both vacillating and just not sure, bouncing back and forth. Like I miss her, I miss him, but also there are problems that really have to be worked through, and they're pretty. What I'm seeing is the problems are pretty. They're pretty difficult, but I feel like it would be good for you to communicate with him. I'm actually hearing to lower your pride because I don't think he's going to, unfortunately. And one of you has to lower your pride. And I'm hearing that you're the one that's more likely to do it.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you,
Anne? I mean, like my reader told me that I should have no communication with him because then he'll want him to come back. And I don't want to be friends. Like, because it makes me feel like mixed signals, and I've been through a lot of friend zoning, and no. And I'm also afraid that he's going to be cold and distant, and I'm just going to get rejected, so that's why I don't talk to him.
Right. That's why I'm saying lower your pride. And that's why I'm hearing that. I totally understand. I'm sorry that you're getting conflicting information, because that can be difficult. All I can tell you is what I'm hearing in my head. And, you know, I am a medium, Anne, and very often when somebody's loved one has crossed over and they communicate with me, one of the big things that they tell me is their regrets. Like, I wish I would have spent more time raising you. I made some mistakes raising you. I wish I didn't drink when I raised you. I hear this all the time, and I can feel it in my heart.
I have regrets, too.
Their regrets. And I think that when we cross over, we don't regret having lowered our pride and been rejected. We regret having not lowered our pride and possibly opened the door to something beautiful. And you know, it's a possibility. Like I said, I think he's really torn, like you are. I don't think either one of you are like, I want to get back together with this person. I also don't think either one of you is completely done. I read energy, and it's a really clear
what?
I read energy. And when a relationship is over, it's almost like somebody takes a ribbon out and cuts it in half. It's very distinct for me. And I don't feel that here, which means there's still stuff to work.
You don't feel like we're going to get back together.
I didn't say that you weren't. I'm just getting into his head and your head. And I feel like neither one of you have made up your mind 100%. I don't feel like it's over. I actually do feel like you there is going to be some interaction romantically again. I don't know if it's going to be formally getting back together, boyfriend and girlfriend. I feel like there are unresolved issues here, which means that there's more time. This relationship isn't over. There's more time that needs to take place between the two of you. But I tell you, when you're 90 years old and you won't regret having reached out to someone, regardless of what the outcome is.
So you don't think he's going to call me?
I think he would, but it would take him a long time. I feel like you're more likely to lower your pride than he is. You guys are very similar, Anne. And I think you know that. This is why you butt heads. You both have a lot of pride, and you're both very stubborn. And I feel like that's part of the difficulty that you're having, is that you're so similar. You don't balance each other out. You guys butt heads about the same kind of things and have the same, very same personalities. But I feel like you're more, what I'm hearing in my head from my guides is that you're much more likely to lower your pride and do the right thing and reach out than he is.
So you feel like we would have some romantic, we would be romantic again, but not to the point where we're in a relationship?
It doesn't feel like it gets formal, like where you sit down and say, you know, we're boyfriend and girlfriend. But what I'm telling you, Anne, is there's karma to be worked out here. So sometimes we get so stuck on marriage or, you know, formalities or, you know, those kinds of things in our relationships that we forget that we're here to work out karma. There's unresolved stuff with this person.
I'm kind of confused for a minute. Like, what you're saying is that we won't get together like as in boyfriend and girlfriend ever again.
I feel like there's more romantic relationship to take place, but I don't feel like the two of you will say, let's get back together and be boyfriend and girlfriend. I feel like you need to connect again and talk and resolve some things. I feel like it's uncomfortable the way.
Oh, okay. So you feel, I get what you're saying. So you feel like we're going to take it slow. But, like, we're going to go out, but it's not like it's going to slowly develop into a relationship, right?
Did you have a really bad ending to the relationship? Like, really rough?
I feel like I did.
Yeah. That's what I'm feeling, and that needs to be resolved. So I'm not saying that you're going to get married. I'm not saying that you're going to necessarily have a romantic relationship. I feel like you need to talk again. And I do, I don't want to get graphic, but I feel like there's going to be some romance involved. And almost like that's a finality as well. But
no,
unfortunately,
like,
I am time restricted.
I get
I'm not
it.
Allowed
like,
to
we're
going to
be, like, if he calls me, we're going to be taking it slow. And it will take a long time before it gets to the relationship. Is that right?
Not exactly. I actually feel more like the two of you need to talk. And that talk is because there's such a connection to the two of you that that talking is going to lead to some romance, but I don't feel like it's formal, like we are going to get back together. But unfortunately, Anne, my time is limited. We're only supposed to do 6 minutes, and I've actually gone over time a little bit, hun. But I would love to talk to you again if you want to contact me on Psychic Access. I would love to give you a more detailed reading. And I wish you the best, Anne.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Sadia. If you would like to contact Sadia at psychicaccess.com, then she can definitely troubleshoot the more complicated issues of your relationship. Unfortunately, tonight, we can't troubleshoot really, really big sagas here. So we'd ask that you limit your questions to only one sharp question, please. Now, I actually have a caller from Virginia. Hello. Are you out there, Virginia?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for listening tonight. How may I help you?
My question is about romance. Do you see new romance coming my way?
All right. Do we see any romance coming her way? I tell you what, let's put a time limit on this. Let's say, is there going to be romance coming within the next year? Now, I know a year seems like a long time for you, but it doesn't seem like a long time for me. You know, if we're talking about the stakes we're talking about here are very high. Okay, we're talking about love. We're talking about romance. And it doesn't just happen like that. You know, and quick answer to your question, absolutely. Before a year is out, you are going to have romance. Now, is it going to be the kind of romance that you want? Yes and no. But I tell you what, the romance that you will have, the next relationship that you have, I expect it to be one of these relationships where there's going to be a lot of passion, which is great. But the bad thing is that the passion is going to lead to a lot of arguments. I see a lot of argumentation here. In fact, I'm getting a picture of you sort of as being very, very oriented towards troubleshooting this man. Do you see what I mean? Trying to fix the guy. That's what I see. That's the relationship I see forming.
That won't happen. That won't happen. I'm here to tell you. Nope.
Okay, well, I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to happen that way, okay? If you don't want it to happen that way, it doesn't have to happen that way. Because you know what? I mean, you know yourself better than I do. But if I were a betting man, I'd bet my dog and lot that just as soon as you had that man fixed and polished up, then you would tire of him so fast. When there's nothing left to smooth over, you're going to be bored. You're going to find something. And he's not going to like that because you're going to be nagging him then. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Now that's the romance that I see developing right now. But it doesn't have to be that way, you know. Now that you know these things in advance, and I really do think that the need to fix the gentleman is going to come from some arguments that you're gonna. I don't know why you would pick a man if he's so jagged and rough. Is that what you do? Are you one of the? Are you a fixer, madam?
Been there, done that. Nope.
Try not to do it again. I'm gonna tell you something. One thing I see in my line of work is that the same basic pattern always presents itself to repeat itself over and over and over again. You see what I'm saying?
If you don't do the work, and I've done the work, so now.
Okay, well, good.
That's why I'm still single now. Have no desire to fix anyone or change anyone. If you said that to me 5 years ago or 2 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, that's me. No more.
Well, good. Please don't do that because, I mean, I see the next gentleman you get involved with, there might be a chance that, you know, history will want to repeat itself and you'll get tugged in that direction again. And, you know,
no,
but again,
and then I'm going to run. I'm here to tell him. It's like, goodbye.
Good. Well, I mean, you obviously have heard the phrase that well begun is half done, you know, so I feel very confident that if you begin well, you're going to get what you want. But let me just put it this way. You're definitely going to have some romantic activity long before a year is over with. Do you have any prospects right now?
I don't.
Oh, that's going to change very soon. I tell you what, let's see what's going to happen within 6 months real fast. I do believe I might can slide that one in there real fast. Let's see. Will she find some love within 6 months? We know it's going to happen within 12. 12 months is a long time to wait. Let's see if it'll happen. I don't think it's going to happen before 6 months. Nah, I think it's going to be after 6 months passes before a relationship really asserts itself in your life and becomes serious, you see. That's what I see happening for you. But it's really, really good news. I do expect there to be a lot of romantic activity for you. And after 6 months, before a year, You're going to be in the zone, as they say.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And we'll see you next week.
Yes, thanks. Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. All right. I don't think we have any callers waiting in the transom
now. I think there's one more for me.
Is there one more for you, Maureen?
Okay. I feel, yes. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but... yeah, Michigan. Hello, sorry, Stephen, but hello, I knew you were on the call. Hi, Miss Michigan. I'm sorry, Miss. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, may I have your name, please?
John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm Maureen. What can I help you with?
Hi, I'm just calling. I'm having some issues medically, and I'm wondering where you see me with, see, I'm not sure what direction I'm going to go in with being able to go back to work, or if I am, what direction employment-wise do you see and pick up on?
Okay, so... because I can only take one direct question, but let me see if I can, my understanding of what you're saying this helps. You would like to know because of some of the medical issues. I'm not a doctor, but because you're having some situations going on, medically speaking, currently, you're wanting to know if this is going to create a problem with you proceeding to go back to work soon, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great. I just want to make sure so I can help you the best I can. Okay. Oh, John, bless your heart. You know, I feel for you because it looks like you feel like you don't have any personal power in this. I know you said you're physically not well, but it's almost like you don't feel like you have empowerment. And I don't know where that's coming from, but I know that it almost like started with what issues, medical issues were coming up. Now, again, I'm not a doctor, but it does appear like you just felt like you received some bad news somehow or another, some news that wasn't really fun. Did you just get bad news about... the work and that there's stipulations for you to, is that what's going on here? And a relationship.
Yeah, there's some, I'm currently on short term and they're sending me paperwork now again, kind of bugging me and it's putting me at a stress, you know, and it's like, I need time to get this figured out by the medical doctors.
Right.
And
disability.
They're wanting more paperwork and stuff like that. And I'm not sure,
you know,
if I'm going to get that the time.
John, is this for disability?
Yes.
Okay. What I want, I'm not a lawyer or attorney, but what my feeling is this, is that you're, what I'm seeing is there, you need some help with this, and there is help to be had, and they don't charge. Because of what's going on with you, there's so much stuff, and people aren't supportive. Even the people around you, I see that you would think that they're close to you. I do feel that you are going to go through a healing within the next 10 weeks, but I'm not saying, I'm talking about internalizing healing. I feel that things are just being ripped apart. You're going through it's like a grieving process, you know? There's stuff with relationships, there's stuff with family, things are just, and it's just making you feel crazy, and I don't blame you. Give yourself permission to feel like you do. It's okay, because it's overwhelming to try to do what you're doing. You got to get all the doctors, all the paperwork. I'm going to suggest something to you because, just because I feel that I see that this would be helpful, or I'm encouraging you. Seek out an attorney that would help you with filing what you need. They don't ask for anything. I know they don't. Because if you're on, because of medical things, and they help you get things rolling, and it would be to your best interest. Now, I do feel also that you're feeling so worn out. It's a double. It's a what is it called? It's like, you know, it's everything's getting snowballed. The fact is, you're stressed out about having to do this or finding money, and then you're stressed out. You wouldn't be able to go back to work. It's almost like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, right?
Exactly.
It's very frustrating, and I feel for you because then it makes it. This is what the system's all messed up. If you call up, you can put Google Social Security disability attorney. They do not ask for anything up front, but they can get in there quickly and help you get things started. Your job, I don't like the people around your work. I don't think they're good people. I do see a direction, but I do see a disability, you getting back. I see you heading in a better direction later, an opportunity. But in the meantime, I do suggest you get someone on your side to help you get with this paperwork, because that will make you go down for the count. It's like you put a lot of energy into that, and then you're exhausted, and you're not still going. You know, that's your personal power. Take back, right. Take it back. And I see that you will not be disappointed. I see you thriving, but it's really up to you to go for it. Honestly, I hope I've encouraged you to just be open to that. Just saying, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you
thank
have
you,
encouraged
John,
me.
Calling.
I have short term and long term, and then that's when Social Security will kick in. But I'm
right.
currently on short term.
You
and then it'll
long-term.
Go into long term, but the company that is paying the benefits sending me new paperwork, you know. And
yeah, and
I'm like, I've already done this, you know.
They'll drag it. That's why I feel an attorney, and they go into contingency. It would be to your best. It would be to your advantage. I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm just seeing it would be. I see someone that would really be helpful. I see no more. It wouldn't stagnate. It would move forward more quickly, or move forward as it should, not where you're just stuck. Going back and stuck, you know, that
right.
type of thing. So really go for it. Stay away from any woman attorney, though, for some reason. Male attorneys
okay.
would just say, okay? And treat yourself well
okay.
and be nice to yourself, okay, John? I hope I helped you. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, you did help a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye.
Many blessings. Bye.
You too.
Thank you very much for calling in, John. If any of you would like to get a reading from Maureen, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. And that brings us to the end of another wonderful and brilliant show. Big thanks to Sadia tonight and her guest, Richard Gordon, who you can find at quantumtouch.com to find his book, The New Human. Big thanks to all the listeners out there who make us who we are. Also, big thanks to Doug C., who labors behind the scenes to make the rest of us look great. Thank you, Doug. Big thanks to my co-hosts tonight, Maureen and Steve, for adding their special light and magic to the mix. And again, we thank the faithful listeners. Steve, is it your show next week?
Yes, and it would help if I discussed it when I'm not on mute, right?
Hey, I know the drill. I know the drill by now, man. I waited patiently.
it was a flawless show until my screw up.
It's
going to be a great show, Stephen. We've got Diane Hennessy Powell. She's a psychiatrist, scientist, and she specializes in extrasensory perception. She wrote a brilliant book called ESP Enigma, which is one of the most fascinating books on ESP I've ever read. It's one that I've read over and over, and I'm just so excited that she's going to join us because she's fascinating, very smart, very well read and researched, and she's going to share a lot with us.
That is going to be fascinating. You always have the most wonderful shows. Can't wait for that. Don't miss it, everyone. Next Thursday, Steve is going to have his psychiatrist guest, and her name was Diana Hennessy Powell. Did I get that right?
Diane Hennessy Powell.
Diane Hennessy Powell. Very well. Thank you. Well, good night, everyone. From all of us to all of you, we wish you prosperity, health, and happiness. See you next week.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Psychicaccess.com.
Really enjoy.